thank you for this word. We ask that you take it and just sear it into our hearts, Lord, and let us gain from it what you would have us to hear in Jesus' name, and bless the speaker. Amen.
Amen. Well, first of all, for all the mothers that are maybe listening or that are here, Jane, stand in for Alyssa, Sharon, Michelle, Natalie,
Rachel.
Rachel, you got a dog. You're a mother in Zion. You have all these children you're teaching.
She's got a stepdaughter.
Oh, that's right. You have a stepdaughter.
That's true.
I'm sorry. I forgot. I've never seen her.
I forgot.
Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Well, my message today is that God wants to bless you mothers. And I had another message, and Laura says, no, I want my mothers blessed today. So we're going to be praying for mothers. And we're going to do something unusual, because for the mothers that are here, which aren't very many, but we're going to have, there's only four men here. Oh, Justin's here. Is he going to be in the nursery?
Yeah, he's just making sure Daisy was there.
Okay. Okay, that's okay. Well, happy Mother's Day. I just wanted to be sure that you were here. Oh, okay.
Just making coffee.
Sorry.
Huh? Just
making a cup of coffee. Oh, okay. That's all right. We're going to pray in a few minutes, so I just wanted to hold the men that were here, because the Lord wants us to pray even prophetically if we can over the mothers. So we'll see how that works. Let's turn to Genesis. Genesis chapter. Get my notes out here. Chapter 1, verse 26. A familiar verse to all of us, but we're going to go it again. You know, right in this time, the enemy is very, very angry. He knows his time is short. And he knows the prophecy in Genesis. So let's read it. Has anybody got it?
Yes. You want to read it? God said, let us make man in our image. Is that the one?
Wait, where are you at?
Genesis 1:26.
Oh. Go ahead.
Okay. And God said, let us make man in our own image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Mm-hmm. So God created man in his own image. In the likeness of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Keep going?
Yes. Just one, yes.
And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. The heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created. and made. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground.
You can stop, Jane, right there. You can stop right there. Because this was the beginning of motherhood, when God created man and male and female. And then man sinned. And when he sinned, God said that the foot, the heel of the woman, would bruise the head of the serpent as punishment. And since then, there's been a war against women from heaven. I mean, it's women have been horribly treated, because the devil knew that out of her womb was going to come his doom. And there has been a war against women, and it's more intensified now than ever, because he knows his time is very short, and he knows the generation that is going to put him under is being birthed, the generation of church and the generation of people. This is, I believe, very close to the last generation, if not the last generation coming up. It's really, we don't know for sure. But it could be. It could be. But there is no doubt about it that there is a war on the remnant. There is an intense war, and I know every single one of us in some ways have felt it. I don't think I've ever gone through such a tense battle as I have in the last year. It's been intense, very intense. You know you have the victory, but it is what it is. And mothers, I used to tell Natalie this all the time, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. And she's got a lot of world rulers coming up, as some of us do. And it's really true, because the mother is the first person, whether you realize it or not, the brain that God gave us, I'm going to read, he gave it, it is designed so that there is different parts that have to synchronize. And to make the brain synchronize correctly, put it simply, there has to be relationship. The brain will not synchronize properly to function properly the way God intended to without relationship. And when God said, "Let us make man in our image," he was already in relationship himself. He had relationship, and he wanted relationship with man. And the first relationship, usually the baby has, is the mother. It's the mother. And it's so intense that first year, under normal circumstances, that the child literally feels like they are part of their mother. They don't realize that they're detached. They think that mom and me are one. And that's when you come into the terrible twos, and then the terrible twos, where they realize, I'm me, she's her, You know, that's kind of what happens. And so they call them the terrible twos, because everything's no. They're exerting their independence. They're becoming a reality of who they are in themselves. You know, they're not mom anymore. How about that? So this is important, that first year of interaction and relationship with that baby is important, because it is joyful experiences that helps the brain develop correctly and synchronize. You see, there's different parts of the brain that have to come together and synchronize in a child. And that first year is establishes to that child whether it's a good world, it's a fearful world, it's a happy world. And how that, how you interact with that baby, it's the relationship that helps develop the brain and synchronize it. And how the baby has that relationship, and not just the first year, but that first year is a biggie. It's a biggie because it helps the brain synchronize and to be able to receive things as normal. And I won't go into all the details right now, but I'm going to do another section on that another time since when there are more people here. But it's a very interesting thing how our brain works, but how God designed the brain to synchronize and work properly with relationships. It won't work without it. Isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm.
It really is interesting. So the mother is that first line. And you men here have picked some wonderful mothers. So I can't tell you guys, be careful who you choose for your wife, because you've already been careful and you've done a good job. Because we've got some fine mothers here. And even all these mothers in it are exceptional mothers. There's just not one of you, even you that didn't remember you had one. I see how you take care of that dog. But I tell you what, it's really amazing how important that mother is and the relationship with the mother. Not that the father doesn't, the father interjects and brings joy too, but the mother is the set. And she's the heart of the home. The man is the head of the home, the director. He feels everything. He sees what's supposed to happen. And she feels with her heart. She feels the heart of what's going on in the home. And she can feel the temperature of her home. And that's important because the father can't really feel the temperature. He just sees what's happening and what he's got to do and what he's supposed to do to get things straight. But mothers have to say, wait a minute, this is what's going on over here. I know you don't see it quite that way. You know, the heart. The mother's the heart of the home. And so it's very, very important to all of us and that our mothers are our moms. I was very fortunate to have a very dear mother. But it doesn't matter whether our mothers were dear or whether they were horrible. What did the Lord say? Honor your father and mother. And this is with promise. It's the only direction that we have in our rules and that we live by, that says, if you do this, I promise you, you're going to have long life. I promise you, it's going to go well with you if you honor your mother and father. He didn't say, if they're good to you, honor them. He didn't say that. He said, honor them. And honor, give honor from where honor is due. And honor is due our parents, especially our moms, because God says so. Period. And if our mothers don't measure up to us, or our fathers don't measure up, even fathers, well, we just don't have an excuse. We really don't. And the one thing that's conflicts us all is when we have a challenging parent. And we judge them. We judge them as to what we think they are or what we think. And that judgment ends up coming back on ourselves. It just does. I've seen it over and over and over again. It's hating my father was the first thing that I asked God to deliver me from when I became a Christian. I was a Christian, became a Christian when I was 14. And I hated my father. I didn't hate my mother. She was sweet as pie and an angel, as far as I was concerned. But my dad, No way. He was just, he didn't speak to me. He was intimidating. He just didn't want any part of me except for to tell me, to scream at me about things that I didn't do that I never could figure out what he was talking about. So it was difficult. But I asked God, the first thing that I asked him when I got saved was, please help me to forgive my father and to love my father. Or I could be a mother. But that's what I asked. And you know what? God answered my prayer. How about that? He gave me a love for my father. And I knew it was God because I didn't love him. God took that hate and he put his love in my heart. And that's part of the sanctification process. Is taking those things that we know that we're convicted of. That's part of what God is calling for us now in our sanctification process. Is taking those things that he reveals to us. You know, most of us are in overt sin. But we've got areas that need to be changed because when we look at the fruit of the Spirit, are we operating in them all the time? Does everybody know us by the fruit of the Spirit? Does everybody know us by that? You know? Those are a good place to look and say, Lord, I need help there. You know? It's that mirror you're talking about, looking in the mirror and seeing. But you know what? The thing is that I found out this big secret. I can't change myself. And God didn't ask me to. What a revelation. I spent a lot of years trying to change myself and live up and measure up to the Word of God, right? I couldn't do it. I mean, you know, I couldn't. But when I realized that God's grace and his word would change me, when he finally gave me that revelation, then I said, oh, okay, well, here it is, God. I can't do a thing about it. This is how I feel. This is how I operate. Please do something. I repent and I ask you to do something. I need your grace. I need you to change me. And that is the difference. I'm not changing myself. I'm not becoming self-disciplined. I'm becoming disciplined by the Holy Spirit. And there is a huge difference. It is major. It's a major change. And I can rest in the fact that he is bringing me to the knowledge of that which needs to be changed so that I can give it to him and receive his salvation. It has changed everything in my life to come to that realization. It has taken out all the animosity I feel toward people I feel it toward. And I truly have the love of God flowing through my heart. And it's like, I'm even amazed. It's like, it's shocking how he will do it if we just allow him to and give it to him. And if you haven't come into that realization yet, believe me, there is so much freedom in that. Because, no, we are not to perfect ourselves. He's the perfect one. He's the one that does the changing. He's the one. How can you change? Can you really change yourself? You can try. You can try to discipline yourself. You can try to get rid of desire. But sooner or later, boom, there it comes. It comes popping out. Up. I didn't try hard enough. I didn't discipline myself hard enough. Uh-oh. What a struggle. That is a horrible struggle. My discipline is to trust and extend my faith in his power and allow him to change me when he shows me what needs to be changed and what I need to let go. Because so many times we're not aware of what it is that we need to let go. What it is that he needs to change about our thinking. But when he shows it to us, when we see it, yay! It's not like, I'm going to work and pump. I'm going to change it, God. I'm going to. No. He says, when you need grace, when you need grace in a time, and you go to the throne,
and have get the power that you need to change. And I'm telling you, my insides are not the same as they were last year or the year before last. Things that used to irritate me, I don't even think about it. It's like I didn't make that decision. I just asked God to change me. It's trusting Him and having faith in His power, and because it's Him in us, the hope of glory. It's Him that changes us. He just, all He says is just ask me, and I will do it. It is simple. The gospel of the kingdom is simple. Don't make it hard. We're pressing into becoming like Him. And as long as we're wanting to change and asking Him and believing Him for it, He's doing it. He's doing it. It's not complicated. The gospel of the kingdom is simple. Now, there may be complicated parts, but I'm not responsible for the complicated part. I'm just responsible for having a love relationship with the Lord and to allow Him to work the fruit of the Spirit in me so that I can be a witness to all those around me. And so that is what I'm responsible for. And it's so fun because being in love with Jesus and not feeling guilty every 5 minutes that I didn't discipline myself to do what I was supposed to do or change and feel those changes, I relax in Him, I rest in Him, and I enjoy my relationship with Him in a way that nobody can change that in me. Nobody can change that. Nobody can take that from me. Nobody can say, but you're not doing that. I'll say, oh, okay. Well, okay. If that's a sin in my life, okay. Lord, I don't want it there. You washed and you cleansed me. Please change it. Change it in me. Because I'm with you. I'm with you, Jesus. And He does. He's faithful to bring us from glory to glory if we ask Him. And I don't care how simple it is or how hard it is. This is the message of the gospel of the kingdom. And it is, don't you agree, Dr. Tellers, that it's getting changed from glory to glory. And knowing that it's a never-ending changing. It's a coming higher in Him continually over and over. Enjoying the ride. And there's nothing that's been and more amazing to me is to experience that change and knowing I didn't do it. I asked Him to do it. It's such a freedom. It's so free. And this is what He wants us to have. Freedom to love one another. Freedom not to have expectation of somebody else thinking, well, if they would just do this, then I'll do that. If they, you know, if my husband would do that, I would do that. If, well, you know, but let the Lord change me. And then all that stuff is like not important anymore because you're focused on what He's doing in you, and it's so wonderful. It's so great. And I know I've shared this before, but I can't help but have to share it again. My daughter-in-law was one of the most difficult persons, besides my father, to love. I loved her. I loved her. But she was very difficult to love. I loved her with my own love. It was hard. But when I asked the Lord to change me and let him love her through me, everything changed. I could pray differently for her. I could pray with His love for her and not my own. We all have love. We have our own human love. And I was trying hard to give that human love to her, you know. She wasn't receiving it, but now I can just love her. She doesn't even know it. I can love her in prayer. And I can truly feel the difference of Him loving her than me loving her or trying to love her. It is amazing. And this is what God wants us all walking in. And I know we're walking in it. It's just that the more we walk in it, the freer we are to be all that God intended us to be. And there's nothing more than that. And honestly, a mother's love is very much like that. Even the mother's human love is like that. Because look at in the scripture what happened to the mothers. Look at the ladies who lived together with their babies, and they went to, and one of the ladies' baby died. And she stole the other baby, okay? They went to the King Solomon, and he said, "What's going on?" And they said, "She stole my baby." No, her baby died. That was her baby. They're arguing in front of the king. And the king says, "Give me that knife. Give me that baby." And he's getting ready to cut it in half. And I believe he would have. But he knew. He had wisdom. And the real mother said, no, give her the baby. Because the mother's love is very much like the Lord. But it's not the Lord's love. Because the Lord's love surpasses a mother's love. And I just want to say to you mothers, it is very, very, very difficult in this day and age to do the jobs that you do. To all you mothers, all of you, it is difficult. But with the Lord, look at Megan. Look, Michelle has done an awesome job raising Megan, in spite of you. No, just kidding. She is a wonderful daughter. She's a reflection of you and who God's making her. And you're to be commended for being a good mom. And you've been praying for that. You've been praying about that. God has helped you in with the handicap you have of being a single parent. God has been there. He has been a father. He has been a husband to you. And Natalie, God's given you a sergeant to keep those kids in line. But you have done a phenomenal job. I remember that I think if when you married Justin, if you'd have thought you were going to have 6 kids, you might have thought twice. I really believe that. I really think, wait a minute. What? No. Tell me I'm right.
I didn't think it would be possible, but I always knew I wanted a big family.
Really?
I had no clue that we would be able to do that God would use us to do what
awesome.
We did. So I feel
well, you might not be finished yet, so.
Oh, I really hope so.
Everybody ready for number 7?
Well, you know, you don't always have to have them in your belly, you know.
That's true.
You just never know.
We're adopting.
Adopt me? No, I'm just kidding. Oh, it's amazing to see how you've adopted to motherhood and become the heart of your home in a beautiful way, and the heart that your husband trusts, and that's very important. That's a key, right, Justin?
Sure.
You know when you leave the house that she's not going to run out and run around and leave the kids running around in diapers and screaming and. You know she's going to be there, and she's got your back, and she's got his back, and that's what a mother should be. And you're a mother in Zion, and you're taking that role more and more every day. Good job. And Miss Sharon, you look what you did.
I know.
You did a fine job. I tell you, the testimonies that have come about, I've heard. About how you raise these girls shows, but it's been an amazing testimony. And even with Dr. Tellers as your husband, you made it. You made it. And you did good. And you were the heart of the home, in spite of him. Right. Say amen.
Amen. I know what's good for me.
That's right. That's right. Well, it's Father's Day is next month. And Aaron, you picked a gem. And you've had a lot of struggles to walk through. And you keep on getting up and walking and marching on. And you and Alyssa have done an awesome job with those boys. You really have. And Alyssa, you're amazing. First of all, you're amazing that you can live with Aaron, but you're an amazing mom, and you're the heart of the home. And I know having to work outside the home is very challenging when you have children. And I'm proud of you if you're listening. I don't know if you're listening, but I'm very proud of you. You've done an amazing job, and you work hard. Anybody listening?
Although I wasn't married to Aaron, I have lived with him. And I've got harder roommates.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you tell Alyssa that we're all very impressed with what she's had to put up with.
Yeah, have a good one. They both have it good.
That's right.
She's amazing.
She's amazing.
As long as there's a fire extinguisher in the kitchen, that's okay.
There used to be that commercial that said, you know, you whip up the bacon. Well, I don't even remember all the stuff that the mother says that we did. You remember that?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Hallelujah.
W-O-M-A-N.
That was a long time ago, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That was when mothers were looked at differently. And now I'm not sure how they're looked at. I don't even want to know. I just know how we need to look at them, how they really are. Miss Jane, you've raised some beautiful children.
Thank you.
How are your girls doing?
Good.
Are you a grandma yet?
Yes.
With your
what?
New marriage? I know that you're
no.
a grandma.
No.
With your...
Hannah has to go... Hannah's finishing a year of school.
Okay.
Occupational therapy.
Okay.
And Elizabeth has to get a ring on her finger before she even thinks about it.
Yeah, yeah. How are your grandchildren doing?
They're fine.
Good.
Yeah.
You're a good grandma. And you're a good mommy, too. And don't let anybody tell you different.
True.
Ever. You've been a real witness to the young ladies of this church.
I hope.
You have.
Especially with them stories.
Yeah. You've entertained us quite well.
She got some good stories.
She does. She does.
Jane. Mm-hmm. I watched my parents go through things very similar with Doug.
Mm-hmm.
And you and Stan loved him.
Mm-hmm.
The best you could.
That's true. Did everything you knew how to do.
He was a good guy.
He was.
He really was. And I think about him still. I look forward to seeing him again.
That's good. Yeah, me too.
Me three. Well, we've all come through a lot of challenges together. This body's really been through a lot together. And we have to learn how to stop picking on our faults and start lifting each other up higher and higher and higher. And I think that, you know, we kind of like scrapping family at times. Caleb, do you get along with your brother and sister all the time? No?
Not all the time.
That's a family for you. You got issues, right? That's right. We do. And the Lord has shown me something that I'm not going to go into now because I want to pray for mothers, but the Lord has shown me something, a new direction for sonship. And we've always had a little clue already with Natalie and Justin, but there's some new direction that God is wanting us to go. And I'll just give you a hint. He wants us to be outward focused and not inward focused anymore. We have been way too inward focused. But God's shown me some things. He showed Natalie and Justin some of the things that we can do to support the pregnancy center that we haven't been doing except for financially. That we can act, but we have gifts and callings that aren't just for this body. I mean, we've got to start operating outwardly. And I have another situation that I'm exploring with another pastor in town that is going to be, a tremendous opportunity, which I'll share with you later. I just have to get with him. He was supposed to call me this week, but he's really busy at the moment. And it's a tremendous opportunity to reach out in a way that we're already sort of connected. And it's going to be an open door, and I think it's going to be actually, I think it's not just going to be for Sonship. It's going to be statewide right now. It's developing a statewide program of bringing in the harvest in a way that has not been possible until recently. And it's very exciting. And it will fit right in with our lifestyle and with everything that goes on. And so I have to get the, had hoped to have the details before I came and said that, but I'm just going to give you a little wet taste. That's it. That's all I'm saying. But it's going to fit in with our lifestyle, and it's going to be an opportunity for us to really reach out in a way that will be perfect for our family life and what we're doing at Sonship. And it's going to be a big change. And I think it's going to be a good change because it'll be a natural flow with what we're going to be doing. So I'm excited about that. But what the Lord wants us to do tonight is to pray for the mothers that are here, and I would like for the men to pray over them. If the Lord gives you a prophetic word, if he gives you a prophetic word or just a prayer or whatever, just let the Lord do what he's going to do. Dr. Taylors, I know you're going to have a word. Aaron, I know you'll have a word. I may have a word. If anybody has a word for anybody, feel free, while we're praying. So I'd like for the ladies to come up and the men to come up as well and get behind them. We're going to have to sort of split up since we're short of men here. I already thought we'd have to have two by two. So